Tuesday, and we're just so excited knowing that we can trust the Lord, and when he says for us to be still, we are to be still. When we see things raging all over the place, and it looks confusing, and it looks scary, we know that God has got our back, and he is not going to let anything happen to us, no matter what. So, Father, we come to you this morning, and we thank you so much. We thank you for calming that raging sea in our life. We thank you for calming that chitter-chatter that goes on around us. We thank you, Father, Lord God, for giving us the opportunity to hear your voice and having that discernment to know what we need to do and how to guide our feet accordingly. We thank you, Father, Lord God, for the opportunity to have feelings, to know how to cry, to know how to laugh, to know how to sing, to know how to praise you, Father, Lord God. We thank you for that. We thank you so much for this phone call, Lord, giving us the opportunity to meet and give reverence to you, giving us the opportunity to meet and praise your name, giving us the opportunity to meet and hear your word from one of your vessels, Father. We thank you for that. We thank you so much for the motivational call that comes thereafter, because, Father, Lord God, we know that once that seed is planted, and we know that you have steps guided for us, you then give us the motivation so we can carry those steps out. So we thank you, Father, Lord God, for all you have done. Whether that motivation is to save another person, to be a minister in the marketplace, to give someone a good word for the morning, to give them a hug, to give them a pick-me-up, to give them a simple of beef, whatever it is that you have us do, Father, Lord God, we thank you for it. So as we close this prayer, we already know, we touch and agree that you have cleared the airways and byways. We already touch and agree and know that you have given us all the opportunity to have this call go unhindered with no interruptions, no static, no disconnections, no drop calls, no fade calls, Father, Lord God. The volume will be active. The word will come forth, and we know that the speaker will be decreased or you will be increased, and we can see all of you and none of them, Father, Lord God. We love you, Father. We love you despite of it, because we love you no matter what the natural looks like, because we know you always come through and put the super before the natural. So, Father, in Jesus' precious name, we pray and thank you for all you have done and will do. Amen and amen. Master's Call family, I love you with the love of the Lord. Remember, let peace be still. Listen to the word. And I'm now turning it over to our host. Have a wonderful day.
Praise God. Glory to God. Thank you so much, Sister LaShawn. Good morning, family. And just as she said, peace be still on this Tuesday. And I welcome you also. And my name is Robin Wilson, and I am here in New Jersey, and we are excited about this call. We are excited about our God, because we know that when we lift up our eyes to the hill, he is our help. Welcome, welcome, welcome again to the Master's Call. And this is an awesome call. And we thank God for Dr. P.K. Roberts. We thank God for Dr. Vanessa Weatherspoon, two victorious women of God who listened to the call that was on their life to go ahead and start this call. And because of them, each one of us, we have an opportunity to come together, pray with one another, rejoice with one another, laugh together, and then go forward and share that goodness with other individuals. Our call started way back in 2010 on October 25th, and we have such powerful messages that you can listen to. We have an email address that I will be glad to share with you in a few moments, but I just want you to know about our scripture that we stand on. And as we say, it is about our God. So we stand on the word. And you can find that in Psalms 88:13. And it reads that, but to you I've cried out, O Lord, and in the morning my prayer comes before you. We know that we start our day off with praying. We know that God is Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. And when we cry out to him, he hears our prayers. And we know that they are answered. We are being enriched. We are being enhanced. We are being empowered. We are believers, and we begin our day. That is our mission statement. And it's a blessing to see that taking place in my life. And I know it's a blessing because you see that that's being done in your life also. We have an email address for you, and we want you to send to us your praise reports, your prayer requests, and you can do all of that by sending it to the Master's Morning Call gmail.com. We have a website. All of our messages have been archived. And that website address is themastersmorningcall.wordpress.com. themastersmorningcall.wordpress.com. We also, this is our inspirational call. We have a motivational call. It's hosted by Platinum President Dorothy Cook. We love her, and she's also known as the Godmother. And I'm going to go ahead and give you that number, and then I'll give it to you again, just in case someone came on at the end. But the phone number for the MM call is 530-881-1300. That is 530-881-1300. And the PIN code is 539-598-POUND. That's 539-598-POUND. I am excited, family members, because we have an awesome woman of God who is coming to the line. She has ministered to us before in the past. She is one of our sisters in the Lord, and I don't want to take up any further time. Her name is Jonah Stout, and I am so excited because when she brings the word, it is coming in season. And I want to just let each one of you know, you too, if you feel that there is a word in your belly that you would like to share with us, send us an email. So at this time, I am bringing forward a victorious and awesome woman of God. Are you there, Sister Jonah?
I am here, Robin. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. God bless you. It is all yours.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. I want to just say good morning to everyone. My name is Jonah Stout. I live in Houston, Texas, well, technically Humble, Texas, 5 miles north of Houston, and right now I'm in Tennessee. I've been here for a few days and will be here for a few days more visiting and also on business. But I want to thank Pastor PK and Pastor Vanessa for having me on the call this morning. I don't take it lightly. Anytime God opens a door for me to share with others what he shared with me, you know, primarily I don't really see it as ministering a message per se, but I open up the doors into my personal time with God and what he's called me to do, and I just share it with others because I've learned some of these lessons that I'm about to share with you today just to get to the point where I am right now. Today what I want to talk about is how to, I guess, find and following the will of God, how to find and follow the will of God. I also, you know, as we get to steps in our lives, we know that we didn't get here by ourselves. And I know there are people on this call that you may know me. You connected with me on some level, whether it was business or personal. I sent a text message out to some friends this morning. But I just want to thank every individual that is on this call that you played a part in where I stand today, in my personal life, in my professional life, and in my spiritual life. There have been pastors, there have been sisters, brothers in Christ, there's been business moguls, just every single person. I see it as a ladder. And you've been on one of those steps on my way up this ladder. And so I just want to thank you and thank God for you. And I want to thank you as we journey together for giving me the grace to grow. You know, we're not perfect. And so when we're stepping through this thing, you know, a lot of times we make decisions that is not good for others, may not be good for ourselves. But I just want to thank you for the grace to grow in what God has called me to do. But again, back to the title here, how to find and follow the will of God. You know, a lot of what connects us all on this call this morning is the decision to do better and to want more. You know, it's Artist International, it's Better Health, it's Improved Wealth, whatever you want to call it, but that's why we're all on this call, because one day a 50-year-old laid-off man made a decision to follow the will of God for his life. And so if you think about that, the magnitude of that, that hundreds and thousands and millions of people have been impacted by that decision. So don't take it lightly when God gives you an assignment and you begin to walk out the will of God for your life. The first thing I like to talk about is trust. You have to trust God that, first of all, he created you. So he put the assignment on the inside of you. He knows what it is that you've been called to do for the time that you've been placed in this natural realm. So you have to trust God. For years, whenever someone would pray for me or I get called out in a meeting and so forth, it was the same scripture for like 15 years, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And at one point, it got really, really frustrating because I was like, okay, is there nothing else you can say to me, God? But I would always get that word from someone, even if it was in it could be in a Christmas card. That scripture would be in that card, and I now know why. Because what I'm stepping into and what God has put before me, I absolutely have to have 100% trust in God and just follow blindly. And my personality, he knows my personality because he created me, was very difficult for me to do. And then also the Bible talks about in Isaiah 55 and 8 that, you know, his thoughts are not our thoughts. You know, for those of us type A personalities, rubies as you would call them, very strong personalities, we kind of want to analyze and think things through and so forth. But you're going to get in real big trouble with that with God because, you know, his thoughts are not our thoughts. And the way he's going, the road that he's going down, you're kind of wondering, you know, why am I on this road? I can't really understand it. And that's the deal. You're not going to understand it. You just have to obey. As we kind of unpack this a little bit, you know, people say, well, how do I know that I'm in God's will? And what is God's will for my life? And the first place you have to start is the Word of God. And so I would just, hopefully you're in church and you're in a Bible teaching church and begin to just unpack the will of God, and you will see the will of God and get an understanding of the will of God in specific areas like salvation, that he wants us all saved, none be lost. And you'll get to know the will of God as it relates to healing and what our assignments are as Christians, you know, to go ye therefore. But what people are really saying when they make a comment like that is what they're saying is, what is God's will for me? And so when they go to church and they're hearing the pastor or the teacher, you know, talk about these other things, they're saying, well, I understand all of that, but what is God's will for my own personal life? And, you know, when I began to, this journey started for me, I guess, when I was about 17 years old, and I was just really, really disappointed, and I'll talk a little bit about passion in a second, but at 17, I became very disillusioned with the church, the building, the people in the building, and I walked away, and I stayed away for 13 years. But, you know, they talk about, you know, planting that seed in the child, and, of course, he or she will not depart, and that is true because, I mean, no one really coached me back into church. I believe one day I heard a word from God that he's like, okay, you know, Sundays was my day to wash my car and to do my laundry. And I remember doing my laundry one Sunday, and he said, you know better than this. Time out for all of this. And that's really all I remember. And I basically just put everything down, and I got dressed, and I went to church, and I've been back in the things of God ever since. But you have to tap into what that passion is on the inside of you. You know, most of us, we get derailed, we get distracted, and we'll get discouraged due to a lack of vision. And I remember during that time, during those 13 years, I was off. Something was off. I couldn't figure it out, but something was off. Something wasn't right. I didn't have a name for it or anything like that. And then, of course, I kind of heard that direction to get back in church. And a lot of times we will ask ourselves, you know, what's going on? You know, something's off. What's wrong? And, you know, maybe you took on a job or you took on a business, and now it's the end of the year, and maybe things didn't end or didn't go come through the way you thought they would have, and you're saying, well, you know, is this something I still want to do? Should I be doing this? You know, and the reason why you're asking yourself that question is because you're focused more on the results than you are on the journey. And what we need to be focused on is our day-to-day activity and our journey for this assignment and not on the end results, because when you do that, you tap into God's responsibility. And so what this is about is growing into the assignment. And I want to talk about that because that's how you really step into the will of God. Recently, I was advanced in Artists International, and I now realize it really wasn't about the rank of president. It was about me growing into the position to become a presidential leader for the ultimate assignment that God has called me. And so, I mean, I appreciate all the thank yous and all of that, but I just had to take a moment to really rejoice for my growth. And I know that that's what it's all about, because as you begin to grow in the things of God and your assignment, the vision becomes clearer, doors begin to open. And so these doors are opening now, and it's because God sees me as ready, mature, and fit for the next assignment. Not for the ultimate assignment, but for the next assignment, the next part of this assignment as we go on this journey. And I'm going to ask you this morning to think about, what is your passion? Some people are, you know, they're looking, you know, and hunting and want to confirm their will, the will of God in their lives. And I say, start with your passion. Start with your passion, because passion brings clarity to the vision for the assignment. And so start with that. What makes you smile when you go to bed at night? What makes you get up out of bed in the morning? And you know what? If you're still lying around and no energy when you get up in the morning, you are missing passion. And so you need to find that in your life, and that will ultimately bring clarity to the vision for your assignment. And I will share with you what drives me every single day. What drives me every single day, and one of the reasons why, when God brought me back to church, he brought me back with a different perspective, and not to be so judgmental and so forth and so critical. Because what I saw year after year after year was, I was hearing the word of faith, I was hearing the prosperity message, but what I heard coming out of the word of God and coming from a pulpit was totally different than what I saw sitting in the pew. It just did not add up for me. The same people going up to be hands laid on them every single week for the same sickness, for the same disease. People still broke. People still not financially able. But I'm hearing in the word that we're supposed to be prosperous, and that we are the head and not the tail, and all, we are overcomers. But I didn't see us walking that out. And so that challenged me. Now, again, if you go back at the age of 17, that was an issue then. I just didn't know how to handle it. So God's assignment never changed for me. It just, now that I'm a little bit more mature, I've got a different perspective, I still have the same feeling. But now God has me listening to his voice and saying, this is not the way it's supposed to be. And so that's why when an opportunity was presented to me, it gave me the vehicle to support our organization called Healing Humanity. We founded Healing Humanity, and the vision is to empower people so that their vision can be empowered, both in their health and in their finances. And so when God opened up that door, we didn't realize it was going to be as big as it's growing into, millions and millions of dollars and just really feeding a lot of children and so forth. And we have our vision for that. But we didn't know that, you know, just when we connected with Artists International being the vehicle to our organization. But one of those things, that's my passion. So, of course, pretty much everything that I'm going to be doing or connecting to it is going to feed that passion. It's going to really feed that passion. So the next statement I want to say is this. When a vision gets clearer, options are fewer, decisions become easier. I'm going to say that again. When your vision gets clearer, your options are fewer, your decisions become easier. Well, yeah, and it's so true, because when you become clear about what God has called you to do, you draw the line in the sand when it comes to certain things. That's why it says options are fewer. And then you know what decisions you have to make, because you're not going to make a decision that's going to come against the vision. And one thing I will say right here is that sometimes you need a mentor. You need people that can redirect you back to the initial vision or for the assignment. I'll repeat that. You'll need a mentor to redirect you back to the initial vision for the assignment. And sometimes, you know, when you begin to step into your assignment and the will of God for your life, and all of a sudden, all these other opportunities are coming, you know, left and right. And I'll say this, when I stepped into the business realm of network marketing, I am a former 22-year corporate executive in the IT arena, a certified project manager is what they called us. And so it's amazing how when I made the decision to do this full time, not that the business was able to replace my income at that point. It was because I heard the voice of God tell me to do it. I walked away, yeah, knees shaking and all of that, but God has sustained us every step of the way. And guess what? He sustained us before I even got to president. I just made president last month. I've been in Artists International since 2009. So God sustained, and I went full-time in 2010. So never miss a beat. God sustained us through different avenues, different things, us following his voice, but he did sustain us. And so throughout that time, there's been many hard times where my mentors have had to counsel me and to keep me on track. You know, but I also remember that once I decided to make the decision full time into business, that all of a sudden here come all these opportunities. I had headhunter. I mean, I still get probably a headhunter coming after me with my the kind of credentials that I have at least once or twice a month. But at that particular time, it was like two or three a week. You know, and offering me throwing all this money at me. You know, but I had to stay focused on what God called me to do. And then another time, when my business was going through some changes and rebuilding, I needed a mentor to make sure I stayed on focus. And one of the things Dr. Jewel Tanker told me was that you have not made your first million yet. Now, that's Dr. Jewel. But what she didn't realize, what she was saying to me, she was speaking to the assignment, the vision on the inside of me, because that's what God had said to me, that I was gonna, he was gonna bring millions into my hands to do these projects that we have to do. So her saying that just really put me back on course. So again, vision, when your vision gets clear, options are fewer and your decisions become easier. And therefore, you know, when you do have a mentor speaking into your life, and I'll have to throw this part in, you have to stay coachable. But I always like to add this, not only be coachable, but you have to be coachable. Being coachable with humility is mandatory. Being coachable with humility is mandatory. Sometimes you may want to say something back to your mentor. You may want to try to explain yourself or whatever. But I've had times where God has told me, just be quiet and listen. Be quiet and listen. Obey and do. And so it's because of the instruction. He's speaking through them to you for your next step. Now let's move on to the next point. You can be in proximity of the vision or your assignment or the will of God, if you may, but still be out of position. You can be in proximity, but still be out of position. What do I mean by that? Because a lot of us like to be comfortable. You know, you may be working for someone or you're helping someone with their assignment, and that's fine. But God is telling you to step out on your own in a particular venue or a venture, and you're scared. But what you don't realize, it's not you, it's him. And so you've gotten comfortable where you are, so you can be in proximity. You can kind of be close to the assignment, but you can still be out of position because you're not doing exactly what God told you to do, okay? Then the next point, vision gets clearer when we eliminate bad options. Your vision will get clearer when we eliminate bad options. Now, I put some examples here because I think it's easier to show it this way. Let's say you have a vision for your marriage. Now, what's a bad option? One of the things that my husband and I said early on, that divorce was not an option. Well, guess what? No matter how bad it gets, because he and I have agreed, and that's a part of our covenant, that divorce is not an option, we got to work it out, okay? And I believe if a lot of marriages did that, you know, and, you know, all things being equal, you know, no abuse and all of that, but, you know, if divorce was not an option and it was not on the table, then it would force us to sit down, get the help that we need, and work things out. What is the vision for your finances? What is the will of God for your finances? Now, we know he wants us to prosper, but we've got to be good stewards. We've got to be givers and so forth and so on. But what is the vision for your personal finance? Well, for me, I will not be a part of the 85% of the women over 65 living in poverty. That is in me. I will not do that, and I don't know if you've ever heard Dr. Jewel talk about that, but if you haven't read the book, It's Rising Time by Kim Kiyosaki, you need to get that book. I will not be a part of that high percentage of women over 65 that ultimately ends up living in poverty. That's a vision for me. So that drives me to make sure that I'm doing what God wants me to do so that I can continue to prosper, okay? What is the vision for your business? Mine is to leave a generational legacy, fund statewide teen homes, and feed 250,000 kids a month. So what is your vision for your business? What is your vision as a Christian as you begin to take on the and step into the will of God for your life? Not only do I want to be a great giver, but I want to be an excellent steward. Okay? So whatever God calls you to do, all of these things, you have to have vision for it. It's what's going to drive you. It's what's going to connect you to the ultimate will of God for your own life. And I'm going to close with this last statement. And it's in Nehemiah. I kind of wanted to read it. Nehemiah 6, verses 1. And it says this. Let me see if I can get it up here. It says, now when Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had built the wall and that there was no breach left in it, although at that time I had not set up the doors and the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent to me, saying, come, let us meet together in one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they intended to do me harm. And I sent messengers to them, saying, I am doing a great work and cannot come down. Why should I stop the work? Why should the work stop? Sorry. Why should the work stop while I leave to come down to you? Know that as you begin to step into the will of God for your life, that those distractions will try to come. And what Nehemiah will say, I'm not coming down. I'm doing a great work. I'm doing what God called me to do. I'm not coming down. I'm going to continue to stay focused on what God called me to do. And I'm going to say this to everybody under the sound of my voice. The only requirement for you is to focus on the activity of the assignment, meaning what has God called you to do from day to day. Focus on that. The ultimate result is God. It is not on you. There's a scripture, Genesis 22, where Abraham was told to go up to Mount Moriah and to sacrifice his son. But one thing Abraham focused on was what God has spoken to him and that he would be the father of many nations and so forth. And Abraham knew that he would need a seed to do so. So he never doubted God. He never felt like he would have to give up his son. But he still did the activity. He told his men at the foot of that mountain to stay there, that he and the lad was going to go up to that mountain and worship God, and they would be back. They would be back. He went up the mountain. And as you guys know the story, God provided himself a lamb in the thicket, as the Bible says. And Abraham did not have to sacrifice his son. God was testing his faith. God was testing his commitment to him for the next level of his assignment. Know that those times are going to come. But all you have to worry about is receiving your directive from God. You focus on the daily activity and trust the end result to God. When God gives an assignment, it will come with the vision. You will have the vision for it, but you also will get the responsibility of carrying it out. And that's all God asks you to do, is to wake up every single day to do the activity that's going to bring your assignment to fruition that he has called you to do. Last couple of steps. What you want to do is you want to pray for the vision. Pray that God reveals a vision to you. Write it down and then act accordingly. It's really just that simple. You know, a home run requires stepping up to the plate. And so maybe today you're looking for that answer of what the will of God is for your life. Pray for the vision. God will give it to you. Write it down and act accordingly. Back to you, Robin.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you for that powerful word. Father, what I'm going to do now, family, is bring our prayer request forward. Father, we thank you for your word that has come forward. And Lord, we know that our steps are ordered by you. You are the spirit of truth. You are the spirit of the living God, and we abide in you, and you're teaching us all things. And as you are guiding us, we put our trust in you. We're not leaning to our own understanding. We're going to let you direct our path. We know that you are Lawrence's healer. We know that you are the one who is protecting Regina as she gets ready to go to Israel. You are the one who's protecting Dr. Silverstone as they go to Arizona. We thank you, Father, for your will is going to be done in Victor Green's life, Lord God. And, Father, because we know that our steps are ordered by you and you are the one who calms all storms in our life, we know that our help comes from you. So because we're not conformed to this world, we are being transformed daily by the renewing of your word that is in our mind, making us better so that we can go forward and share it with others. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory because we know that you are leading us. You are guiding us. You're the one who began the work in us, and you're going to complete it in the mighty name of Jesus. Family, what I want to do is just give you quickly the motivational number again. Remember, it's hosted by Platinum President Dorothy Cook, and we have a surprise for you. The founders and owners of Artists International will be on that call. So the number is 530-881-1300. The PIN code is 539-598-POUND. That's 530-881-1300. PIN code 539-598-POUND. Don't forget, fill a bottle, savealife.com. Awesome website. We are sowing into Evangelist Gwen Davies' life by going there and sowing into her life so she can continue. She's victorious in Christ. She's taking products that are also helping and enriching her life. So, again, go to fillabottlesavealife.com and don't forget to get on the MMC call. Thank you so much, Sister Jonah. Will you please come forward and bring us the benediction?
Yes, Father, we just praise you and we glorify you and we thank you, God. We thank you, Father, for trusting us with these precious gifts, the will of God for our lives, the purpose that you created us for, and we don't take it lightly, Lord God. We thank you, Father, that as we heard the word today, that not only are we not just hearers only, Lord, but we listen today with the intent to do. We allow others the grace to grow into their assignment, into the will of God for their lives. And, Father, we just love you so much. But you know what? We're so glad that you loved us first. We give you all the honor and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.